All right, my name is Cheryl Ramsey. Today's date is February 23rd, 2008. I am going to be interviewing Miss Regina Holmes Peaks, and we are at Jerusalem Baptist Church. Okay. All right, Miss Peaks, do you have a nickname that you would want to tell us if you don't want to?
Well, most people in the Southwest call me Sweet Sue.
Sweet Sue.
Since a baby.
Where did that come from?
My father, my uncle named me Sweet Sue. They raised me, the Holmes raised me, and he named me Sweet Sue after old song. It was, you know, it used to be old song, "In That Heart of Mine, You Will Always Find Sweet Sue." But then I've been Sweet Sue over the years. The people that knew me, they called me Sweet Sue. And it doesn't bother me. I found out it bothers one about me. And here I called him by his nickname. I didn't know his name. Mm-hmm. He told me, "My name is Alfonso." Okay.
And what is your date of birth?
December 13th, 1930.
And your place of birth?
825 Norfolk Avenue, on the other side of the bridge.
And names of spouse or spouses, children?
Well, I'm divorced. My daughters are Rosemary Anderson and Vonda Right. And Eugene Peaks Jr.
And their birthdays, if you...
Oh, I couldn't tell you. But I have... What? I have 3 grandchildren. 2 grandnieces that I raised. And my daughter, Asha, Zari, wait a minute, getting mixed up. I can't think of her name, but she died at 14. And she was interviewed by the paper too. And it was a big write-up in the paper about her. She died of cancer at 14. And I can't think of the child's name. Cynthia Peaks. Her name was Cynthia Peaks, and the guy came out and interviewed her. And that was one of my daughters. And I have 2 grandnieces I raised, and I had 3 grandchildren. And I raised all of their children. So it's a big family, but they've all died down. My mother died at 94, 2 years ago. And she belonged to Jerusalem. And I've always belonged to Jerusalem. That's it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where else have you lived other than...
I lived in that big yellow house, used to be right there at 10th Street. It used to be old Dr. Pinkett's house. After he moved out, we moved in there. That's where I spent my, younger days growing up. Right there. We moved off and off at Avenue into that house right there. And they called it Book Washington's house, but we lived there before Book did. And when Book moved out, they tore it down. And the Hankins lived across the street in the big house, right across the street. Mine was this house was 1001 Salem Avenue.
The big yellow house?
Big yellow house, was Dr. Pinkett, old Dr. Pinkett's house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you lived in Monaco your whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you have any other family members that live still in Roanoke?
My daughters are here. and their children. My son lives in York, Pennsylvania. And that's it. Very little few of us left now. It's grand and great grands. And I'm the oldest now. And I have a brother, Willie Hicks Jr. He lives here. He lives with my daughter. And that's it. I'm the last of the family.
Mm-hmm. And what do you remember about your childhood home?
Well, I lived right there on the corner. And I come up during the Depression. My Uncle John did not work on the railroad. My Uncle John hustled. That's getting any money any way you can get it, and most of Southern corn whiskey. And he made it in West Virginia, bought it here on Hobo, and he sold it. But he didn't sell it in our house. He had a house on 10th Street that he sold whiskey. I had the first bicycle. And some of the guys used to tease me that I grew up and said I used to charge them 10 cents to ride the bicycle. Well, not 10 cents, a nickel to get a ride on my bicycle. And, well, I had all the privileges that a better class black child had because Daddy hustled. And it's really funny because that's the way we ate, and I ate good. You see, some of the daddies was on the railroad or the silk mill, and all. Daddy didn't work there. That my Uncle John. My mother's sister raised me. So I laugh. I said, one girl told me, she says, I thought you was rich. I wasn't rich. I was just little and didn't grow. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of clothes. Because from one year to the other, everything fit. But it's really funny because you have all these people. The daddy was this and the daddy and the mother was this. My mother worked in domestic. My daddy sold liquor. I went to school. I had a very good upbringing. And we moved. My Encora, they bought a house on Center Avenue. That's where I grew up. That was the last house. And during 1945, I think, during the Second World War, my people had to go to Newport News to work because there wasn't no jobs here. So they went to Newport News to work, and I finished school in Newport News.
What was that?
In Hampton, front door, and out Hampton's back door, 1 year. And
about when was that? When was that, when you were in Norfolk?
Newport News.
Or Newport News.
1945, during the Second World War. I think it was about either 45, between 45 and 46 or something like that. Because I finished, it had to be, because I finished in 1950, so it had to be around that time. They had to go to New, people had to leave here to get jobs, black people. Had to leave here to get jobs. There wasn't any jobs in Roanoke. If you were established on the railroad or the silk mill, you know. So I come up in prejudice time, believe me. And we went down there. I went to Old Addison.
What elementary school? I mean, what were all the schools you went to in Roanoke?
Harrison. Mm-hmm. We walked across the old bridge from here. It was an old iron bridge.
Where 10th Street is?
Yeah, that's not where it was. It was further down.
Okay.
And it was like on 7th Street. And we walked from here across that bridge and over to Harrison Avenue to Harrison Elementary School. Mm-hmm. And then when we went to Addison, you walked on past there to Addison School. You walked going and coming. Didn't have no buses. So, all up here. This building right in front of it on Salem Avenue, this old Wright Hotel. When I was coming up, it was a hotel. Miss right-headed, and then it become a pool hall. Then it was a restaurant, and it's been a church. And this building, this the back of it's right here. It used to be on Salem Avenue, a stucco apartment house, 3 stories, stucco. They tore that down. And then 3 little row houses right in there. And then a field, and then Salem Avenue right down 10th Street. Mm-hmm. And all of that's been done over. They just tore all that down because you go down, the houses is right there at the alley, on by the bridge. They were houses, and across the street was houses just like it, right across the street. But see, they tore all that down and went straight. You go down this way and down that way and then across the bridge. That's the way it was
when it was that was Salem, that 7th Street bridge you were talking about?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. You had to go down 10th Street right here. And then you go down where those houses are right there. Hey, go ahead.
No, I just hung up on her. Not call her back.
You go right there, 10th Street, and those houses you see right on this side. It used to be houses like that on the other side. All right, that was the street you go down. Then you had to go around the corner, Norfolk Avenue, and then back one block, mm-hmm. and then back and go across the old bridge. You see a white filling station on the other side of the bridge over there. And that's where you went, that's the way it was. But see, when they revitalized, but they put all of that, put the bridge straight across now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was your child like here as far as
happy. We got along, all of us got along. And fights and all that, you know, but I had a happy childhood. I didn't know I was poor until they told me. I really didn't. Segregation, I knew about segregation, places we couldn't go, we couldn't do, mm-hmm. things we couldn't do, but right up in here, it was a city right up in here. And then the kids we went to school with, boyfriend lived over northeast, and if he come and get caught up here, the boys up here would beat him and run him across the bridge. I went through all of that, but it was all a good childhood, mm-hmm. as far as I know, So... We, on the next street was white. When I was growing up, the street over there, going down Salem Avenue was white. Then later on, they sold it to black people, And all on up the street there, that was black. All of that was black. But it didn't bother me. We'd walk over. Used to walk over to Walsina Bridge and throw rocks at white children. And they'd throw rocks at us, and that was our Sunday outing. Or we'd go to the Virginia Theater. We didn't have but one. We'd walk to Virginia Theater. We walked everywhere. It wasn't no riding. It was a streetcar that came up Patterson. I think it came up Patterson or Camel 1. I think Camel. Streetcar. And you caught that streetcar from downtown, you come up and then you walk to Salem Avenue. Didn't anybody tell you? Well, I guess it is on the other. But it was a streetcar, old streetcar. And you rode, that's the closest you got to riding anything, unless your parents had cars. See, I come way back during the Depression and everything.
How much were you ever allowed to come home from school after school? Did you come home just to you and your siblings or anything, or did you go somewhere after school?
No, we came home.
Just came straight home.
Mm-hmm, we came home.
Because it took you a while to get home anyway.
Oh, yeah. I had a certain time I'd better be here. Mama gave me so much time to get across that bridge and get home. And then I came home, changed clothes. When I come up, you had school clothes, school shoes, mm-hmm. and then you had play clothes. And you changed clothes, hung them up, and then you can go play after you do your little chores. you know. But no, we didn't have any. Most of the mothers stayed home anyway, but mine didn't. All of my people were. So, no, I didn't have a babysitter. My children didn't have babysitters. My kids were latchkey kids, Cynthia, Donna, Fuzzy, Felice, Candy, and who else? They all had, they were latchkey kids. And I live on Andrews Road now. You know where Dr. Butler live on Andrews mm-hmm. Road? Across from the new school. I live over there. They came home from school, and they knew they could not take anybody in the house. But they'd play in the yard, and that bunch that lived all around there, they would walk up to Leon, and then that's where the bus would let them off. Then they'd come down in my yard, then they'd walk back up there. When they get tired, everybody would go home. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, no, I never had a babysitter at all. Because mm-hmm. I worked, I would leave home at 6:30 every morning. Then my mother would walk down to 19th Street and over to catch the bus until the people she worked for called and said she needed to catch a bus there, because she had to walk over two blocks to catch the bus to go to work and walk two blocks coming back. If I didn't pick her up, most of the time I would pick her up because I always drove. And the people she worked for told me that she needed a bus to come down by the house. Now it comes down by the house. And she did the same thing with my children, the grands, catching the bus. Mm. They catch the bus right in front of the house, the younger ones, but they have to go up on the hill, the older ones go up on Leon to catch the bus. But I never had a babysitter. I never paid nobody to keep my kids. I tell them, you come in this house, you lock that door, you look at TV or get your homework. Don't answer the door. Anybody that comes in that door got a key. And that's it. Now I had one break-in, and this guy worked for Carolyn Patterson's husband, and he had cased the house out, came in, kicked my window in, tore my piano up, getting through the window, and took my mother's new TV. And we called him, though. We knew who it was and all, and that's the only break-in I've had.
On Andrews Road?
On Andrews Road. Okay. Mm-hmm. A better neighborhood, you know.
Well, how much schooling were you able to complete, or did you go to college?
I went to Hampton don't even count because I didn't do nothing but play. I majored in boys and a good time. Daddy said
that was a high school.
After the grades, this was Hampton Institute.
I went to Hampton.
So
you went there for a year. Okay.
Daddy got the grades. He said, get a job. You know, you're wasting my time. But later, I went to University of Maryland by being a soldier's wife. I lived in Frederick, Maryland. And I was a teacher's aide and working with special education children. And they sent me to school, but I left him. I think I had about 10 or 12 credits to make up. And I left before I got my certificate, so that don't count either. But I did go for 3 years in special education for children.
What school was that?
University of Maryland.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did anyone else in your family or immediate family go to college or your children?
No.
Okay.
Vonda went, but that didn't count either.
Do you remember when you all first got a telephone or the refrigerator and TV?
Well, that was on Center Avenue when we got, because when we was up here, you didn't have telephones and things like that. Maybe somebody else did, you know, one telephone somewhere. But we got the first telephone on Center Avenue. I think I was a teenager.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And wasn't no TV. And I had left home by the time TV come out and all that. But we had a telephone. We got a telephone over on a tall black one over on Center Avenue. Mm-hmm. Always had a record player. when they're riding them up or anything, always had music, always radio, record player and all that, but no TV. I didn't come up during the TV days. TV days, well, you know, we just got them.
Did you go to the concerts and see the entertainers
yes,
here?
The American Legion Auditorium, yeah. Everything that ever come to Roanoke, I was there.
Who were some of your favorite entertainers?
Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald,
they won the other
all
ones,
of the old
Cab
ones.
Calloway.
Calloway, Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, all of the old ones, all of the old ones. And then they had, did anybody ever tell you about Henry Street?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh, okay. And I come up doing the Henry Street days and
the part or the all dances that, and stuff, the dances and the...
Yeah, went to all the American Legion Auditorium burned down. We used to go to...
Where exactly was that? Is where
across
the
in front of, you know where the Civic Center is?
Mm-hmm.
It was in there somewhere. No. It's train station. Across from the train mm-hmm. station in the Hotel Roanoke over there. It was a great big old building. And had all of Cab Calloway, Louis Armstrong, and just everybody. I didn't see Marvin Gaye, though. I didn't see them, but I saw all of the old ones. I went to every one of them and walked from First Street to Center Avenue. And like I said, we didn't have no cars. Mm-hmm. And if you had a boyfriend that had a car, you better not get in it. You best walk. We weren't allowed in cars and things, you know. But a lot of them got in them, but my Aunt Cora didn't play what she said. You know, it's funny, but this might be irrelevant, but when we sit down and they said, these kids doing things, if my Aunt Cora told me something, I believe her. Mama, girl, if you bring me a baby, I'll kill you. I believe her. I guess that was dumb, whatever Mama said was it, you know. And yes, I got whippings. We had a tree on the side of the house, a peach tree. We didn't know it was a peach tree till I went to school. If I didn't do what Mama said to do, when I come in, you better believe that peach tree was around my legs, that switch was around my leg. And she said, a switch ain't never killed nobody. And I raised my girls the same way, but no, ain't no boys in the family, but that one boy, and that's my son. But I raised my girls the same way. I got a big old tree right in front of my yard, called Miss Lucy. And when I get there, I mean business. I get them in. I got a half bathroom in my room. You can't get out but one way, and that's by me. Pull that thing back and that shower curtain back. And turn, hit them everywhere. You can cover up anything you want to, but I'm gonna get you somewhere else. And I mean, you know, I didn't have to do it but once or twice, and then they knew I meant business. That's the way I was raised up here in Southwest. If Mama looked out and saw me talking, that was the end of it. You pay attention. You're supposed to pay attention. You play when you get out of church. That's the way I was raised.
Let's see. What businesses and shops did you and your family go to a lot in the area?
Up here. Actually, they had a cleaners in this building that's standing right here.
Where Chuck's used to be?
Right here.
Okay.
And, they had a business there, and across the street was, Wright's Hotel, what they called it. And that's the big building on Salem Avenue. And it's been a restaurant, it's been a club, it's been everything, and a church, I think it's a church now. But I wasn't allowed there. Then they had a big white store here. It was a Syrians. All right, we had a big white store there. We went in there, And then they had a store right here. Let me get myself straight now. Right here. Yeah, on this corner, 11th Street. Miss Irene. But one of the girls in there was her, it was her grandmother's store. Miss Irene's store. And she carried everything you needed in there, a little old store. And that's it. Up here.
Is there anything that you miss, even not necessarily in this neighborhood, but going over the old Northeast, like when they tore down, were you sad to see it go or things like that?
Well, it's sad to see how the houses and things are going, because these were very fine houses growing up, like going up Salem Avenue on this side, very nice houses. And the two right here on the corner, beautiful houses. Look at them now. You know, it's going down. There used to be the Gosh Brothers Dairy over there. You could go in there and get ice cream.
One of the houses on the corner?
No, the big white building across the street.
Okay.
You are Gosh Brothers Dairy. And we used to go in there and get ice cream. Of course, we just skated all up and down the street, you know. And then you got a store there and maybe a restaurant or something like that. It's just the neighborhood's just going down. That's all. They didn't have that much other than mom, pop stores. That's about all they had up here. Restaurants, some restaurants.
Did you remember a lot of racial tension?
Not here, not up here.
Okay.
Not up here. I wasn't home doing the integrating and stuff. I was in Missouri, I think, when all the integrating and stuff come along. But like I say, it didn't really bother me coming up. Racial didn't bother me at all. We played with the Syrian children. They grew up with us. And down on...
They were white children?
Yeah.
Okay.
They grew up. If their mama owned the store there, they grew up with us. And although we didn't go to the same schools, but we still, we was just it. And we used to have, let me see, Salem Avenue. On 8th Street was a lady, old white lady there, that had two parrots.
Mm-hmm.
And we would come up 8th Street, and he would call us niggas. See them niggas going there?
The parrots would say that?
Uh-huh. And they would be on a screaming porch, and they'd call us little niggas. And it was a whole lot of it going around, you know, but...
So, what is your fondest childhood memory?
Growing up here, right here, in the church here. Everybody know me. And, up here, around here. And growing up here, if I did anything, like I would go to Henry Street, and you let one of them drunks over there see me. Sweet Sue, Miss Gore know you over here. They knew I wasn't supposed to be over there. Before I got home, Mama knew it. I mean, that's the way things were. Everybody took care of everybody. Don't care who you were. Now, that's supposed to me. If somebody saw me over on Henry Street or saw me somewhere I wasn't supposed to be, you could bet your bottom dollar when I got home, Mama knew it. That we took care of everybody. Everybody takes care of everybody. Then, not now, then. All of us took care of it. Mm-hmm. I used to sneak to the 308.
Where was that?
Huh?
Where was that?
That was one of the clubs on Henry Street.
Okay.
And I wasn't supposed to be up there. When I get home, Mama would know it. Anywhere I went, Mama would know it because they took care of me. And drunks now, not like drunks used to be. Drunks used to be very protective. If they, you know, you'd be standing somewhere and they see something going on, they tell it. They tell your parents and you'd get it. But now, you know, nobody wants to get involved, you know. I grew up a happy time. I really did. I'm very happy. Like I said, I didn't know I was poor until they told me. So, I had plenty to eat. Might not have been what I wanted, but I had plenty of it, you know. and have no reason where I work. They were talking about chitlins and rabbit and all people didn't eat this and they didn't eat that. I didn't have nothing to say because if Daddy brought it home, Mama cooked it. If I didn't eat the meat, I ate the juice because Mama made gravy from everything. I'd come up during the time when one chicken would make a pan of gravy like that, you know.
What kind of, well, speaking of work, what kind of work have you done throughout your...
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little bit of everything. I worked in corning factory, you know, these making these corning dishes. I worked in factory making night goggles in Frederick when my husband was overseas. That's before I got to be a teacher's aide. Then I graduated from aide to the second teacher, not the teacher, but the second teacher. And because I worked in the ghetto school, and you had to have three teachers in a classroom. You had the main teacher, and you had a medium teacher, then you had an aide that would help do anything. But it had to be black, white, or white. It had to be, or if you had a white teacher, you had to have black aide, because black children lied on the white teacher, and the white children died on the black teacher, so they had to have this one out. That's what I, you know, whoop and all that. And I worked, I came home. I left my husband in 72. I came home and was qualified for teaching children to read. They couldn't, but they wouldn't hire me. They had high school. I worked elementary. I don't like high school children because it's sassy. And so they wouldn't hire me. So I went to Double Envelope. And I worked out to making envelopes and things. I went out there as a reception, but they didn't pay anything, so I went out in the plant. And I worked out there for 24 years. That's where I retired from, Double Envelope.
Hmm.
I went Plantation Road.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of, I know you said it, but the cultural events that were happening in Roanoke, sports, or did you attend any fairs and sporting events?
We used to have fairs, and we have more fairs at Woodrum Field. They used to have, not where the stadium was, in the other side of it. They used to have fairs out there all the time. And I used to go when I was little, but I don't even like them now. And they're not like that, you know. And they used to have those. They used to have dances. They used to have the black and white ball every year. I'd come home every year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. They'd have a black and white ball. Then you would have another ball they'd have here. They have that at the Star City. They had an auditorium called Star City Auditorium, right off on Walker. Oh, not Walker. You know where First Baptist Church is?
Mm-hmm.
The Black First Baptist Church. All right, right up this street. I can't think of the name.
Henry Street. That.
All right, Henry mm-hmm. Street. Right off of Henry Street was a building. They had called the Star City. They had their dances there. And it had big dances, and they had a group called the Aristocrats that played a band, and that played for the black and white ball. And we used to come home for Christmas ball, a black and white ball, several dances. You came. One of them was Thanksgiving, and the other one was Christmas. You definitely, if you was from Roanoke, you came home for that.
For both of those.
For, mm-hmm. Mm. And that's it. We had. That's it. In church and one theater. Then we could go up in the Buzzard Rooster one downtown.
That's the one with all the steps. Or
yeah,
something.
And go all the way up on third floor. And that was one. That was it. Mm. And they had a lot of little juke joints around, you know, like black people have. And That was it. That was our recreation in church, and that was it.
Did you have any community leaders or activists in the city that you remember?
Yes, we did. There was Miss Whedon here, Madge Whedon. We had Miss Golden. They were civics leaders. And back during my days, they didn't do much of anything towards Roanoke's prejudice. Always have been. And it's just a little bit better now than it always have been. I know I seem like a downer, but it's the truth. And I had a girlfriend, grew up right here with me, Audrey Page. And her daughter went to, I don't know where Paula went. Anyway, she was doing good in North Carolina. She went to college in North Carolina, and she wanted to stay. And I told her, Mother, Paula's doing good down there. You don't want her to come back here and be, if she can't be a teacher, she's going to be a glorified secretary. Roanoke, if you don't know somebody that's got good connection, you ain't going nowhere in Roanoke. Roanoke is prejudice. I'm sorry, but it is. It is prejudice. We two steps above what we used to be. I'm sorry, that sounds ugly, but it's the truth. And God knows it's the truth. So, I love it here. I came home to die. And somebody said, "Be so prejudiced, why'd you come back home?" I came home. I'm old. And I came here until I die. I'm not going anywhere else. You know? So that's it.
Did you have any role models coming up?
Not really. Plus, I didn't stay around here long enough. Mm. You know, I'm back with some folks. Other than my mother. My mother was a hard worker. My mother worked. She went to work. She caught the bus and went to work. And I know my mother to work from sun up to sundown. And she worked all her life. She was 97 when she died. She came to church that morning and went home, cooked dinner, laid down and died. And my mother was a lover of fur. She was a very dressy lady, a very fine lady. And she loved it. She raised two families, white people, that if she, it was hers, that was it. She raised that family and they loved her.
What did she do?
She was housekeeper, cook, whatever.
And two families in Roanoke?
Yeah, she raised two families, white families. And then Hancock is a stockbroker, A.E. Edwards. And Chan Bolden is Maston, Kirkland, and Bolden. He raised his children and raised Hancock's children. And they were all right here when she died. We all stood there and cried together. She raised all of them. They loved her. And she, all she had to do, yes ma'am, no ma'am, that's the way they grew up. And she raised them like she raised us, you know. Worked all of her life. Loved fur, had boars, this big, big fox fur boar, white one on a black one. The white had to match. Black gauntlet. She worked every day. She got what she wanted. And she left me a good little piece of change that I spent. But she was a lovable person. And she taught me to cook.
That's always good. And this is probably one of the last two questions, but what other jobs did you know of were available for men and women back then?
Well,
I realized the railroad seemed
good. And but silk mill.
What happened? That was another one. Do you remember the closing of the silk mill?
They had the flour mill over there and the silk mill. Now, I can't quite get the two of them apart. Then they have had a lot of dressmaking, Halmode and all that. That come along later, you know, Halmode and all that. They come along later. But now, back in my days, they didn't hire too many black to work along besides them white people, you know. That was during the times when I was growing up, and when you worked on the railroad, you either worked on the railroad or you were a dining car, in the dining car. And that was it. You worked on, and then of course you could do hotel work. Hotel Roanoke, and Crystal, what was that name? It wasn't Crystal's, what's his name then? Ponce Leon Hotel, Patrick Henry Hotel, and called Roanoke Hotel. Mm-hmm. Now that, they worked there. Mm-hmm. And if you worked in the stores, you were a maid. And that's all I can think of. That's all I can think of growing up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And railroad was the biggest thing. And I don't know whether black worked in the steel mill or not. They got a steel mill, Shavers Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if blacks worked there or not. It's mostly railroad. They'd have to tell you that. But it was prejudice. And work was limited.
Was your family from here, too? Did they work?
Oh, no. My mother was from South Carolina.
Okay.
From Columbia, South Carolina. She came here with her sister, Cora. Cora and John Holmes, they raised me. Like I said, I was born out of wedlock. And they raised me. And that was it.
Did your mother or anybody pass down any stories from...
No, she could tell you some stories. She could tell you, like, this lady in this house over here. This big gray house, wait a minute, over here, mm-hmm. on the corner. Big gray house on Norfolk Avenue. They used to have kind of a sporting house. And when the railroad would get off, then they come through there. If the wives didn't catch them before they got there, they'd spend all the money there, big time. And it's so many rooms in that house over there. They rent rooms, they fed you, you could get anything you wanted to drink, and dance and meet your woman over there. This was the Jones house right there. Mm-hmm. Miss Farrell lived there now. But that big gray house right there on the corner.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But that's about it.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to tell me or anything? Or?
No, I don't do much now.
No, I've enjoyed it. Or anything we haven't covered? Or
no. Not that I know of, huh? Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, if you think of anything, I'm going to thank you for your time. I'm going to stop this.